This is a recording from Reunions Weekend 2011 at the University of Virginia, made possible by the UVA Alumni Association. This recording is a panel discussion from the class of 2001.
It's great to be back, and it's great to see all of you here, and I trust that almost all of you are from the class of 2001. So, if you're anything like me, guys, if you're anything like me, you've been sitting in your office one day writing something so boring you hope no one ever reads it, and you think, I'd rather be selling peanuts at the circus. Or, like a lot of us, who've been standing in the unemployment line wishing for a paycheck bigger than the one you're about to get. So this session today is about reinventing yourself, beginning again, scratching that itch you get 5, 10 years out once you've started on a track and redirecting yourself. So in that theme, it is perfectly okay to scratch yourself during this session. We do discourage scratching of your neighbors, but we won't throw you out for that. Hecklers will be subjected to psychoanalysis, and those who text and tweet during this session will be shocked. So, with those rules, I think we're in for a great session. I cannot tell you how excited I am to have these four panelists. They inspire me. I know a few of them and watched their journeys, their twists and turns through the last 10 years. So, this is going to be a lot of fun to hear them talk about it. I trust that since UVA graduated, you can read. So we have these pamphlets here that give you the ins and outs of where they've been in the last 10 years. But I'll just give you a brief synopsis as I introduce them. Chris was an awesome college football player, probably a lot of you saw him on the field. He turned into a pro player, who turned into an unemployed pro player, who is now a surgical sales rep down in Jacksonville, Florida. Katie, I love this one. Katie was an investment banker, what everybody tried to do. And she then is a gerontologist who then became a professor and is now a consultant for teaching people what old people want in life, which is great. Tim Roscoe, this one makes me dizzy. He was in studying to be a broadcast journalist, then he went into academia, doing something about the war in Iraq and Australia. Who even thought of that? And then he went into telemarketing for a bit, and now he's a UVA networker. So if nothing else, we will be efficiently networked by the end of this session. And Annie Hynek comes back. This is the best one. She was a consultant who went into politics, who went into event planning, who went into dancing, the legit kind, and is now studying to be a therapist to help people figure out what they want to do when they grow up. Very appropriate. So we're going to treat today's session as more of a conversation. I wouldn't tell them the questions in advance, and I'm hoping that you guys will supply a lot of the questions because this will make it more interesting. So just nod at me, and I'll come bring you the mic. But I'll get us warmed up with a few probing questions, and you guys can go in any order that you like. You can forego a question entirely, or you can all pipe in if you will. So, to start. Tell me about the moment, or one of the moments, in which you knew something had to give, that you knew change had to happen. And I want all the details. What you saw, what you heard, what you thought, the panic, the excitement, all of it.
I remember when I was, after I finished grad school and studied the lucrative field of Australian social movements, I came back to the U.S. and worked in healthcare PR, which I love, and it's a wonderful field, and there are tons of great people in it. I wasn't a very good person. I remember there was a moment where I realized that the thing in my life that I was the most proud of, and not at work, but in my life that I was the most proud of, was that I had more furniture in my office than anybody on my floor. That was this moment where I just realized I need to get out of here. Like, I'm losing my mind. I'm losing perspective and everything I believe in. And so that was one of that was probably the most distinct turning point for me in realizing that what I did is really going to have to align pretty closely with what my, I don't want to say morals because that's pejorative, but just what my convictions were.
Did you guys keep the furniture?
No, the furniture went to someone else. And it's funny, you know, that I got a corner office, and that was it. I mean, I was thrilled, and it's funny how I think, I was younger, but you sort of think in those terms and you kind of step back and go, wait, do I like what I'm doing? Like, is this, what's this about? And that lovely spark me to do that.
I think I have 2 points. There was when I knew what I didn't want to do, which is what made me decide to leave or start thinking about another job, and then how I found what I wanted to do. So how I realized that Lehman Brothers investment banking probably wasn't for me was on the morning of September 11th. And I've been there till like 2 in the morning, the night before, working on something really important, and came in really early that morning. And obviously the world changed, and we were in the World Financial Center, and I think that morning, what I was working on was suddenly not very important at all, and we never touched that PowerPoint presentation that I was, you know, sacrificing all these aspects of my life for. So at that moment, I figured this probably isn't what I want to do with USNI, but I didn't know what I did want to do. And then probably a year later, my mom sent me a book about a geriatrician, so an MD who studies, or who works with older patients, and I read this book. And I literally like underlined every line. And I was like crying reading this book. I'm like, oh my goodness! Like I didn't realize that there were all these issues with older adults. Like I thought you were just supposed to be nice to grandparents. I didn't know you could study them and market to them and create products for them. And so I went to a school of gerontology at University of Southern California and did a master's and a PhD in old people.
Well, I think I'm in the wrong room. Kind of make the decisions. I kept getting fired. So my mic's a lot louder. So that's how I made my transition. So it wasn't by choice.
That still counts. You still did it.
Yeah. So if it was up to me, I mean, I still got, people who I played with in college who are still playing, you know, so if it was up to me, I would probably still be playing football, but life is much better now. I mean, I could walk down those stairs, it didn't hurt. I wake up in the morning and I can go to the bathroom and it's not hurt. So I'm thankful that I am out, but if I didn't know any better, I would still be in.
How did you wrap your head around that?
That's a real good question.
That's what I think, being sharp of this.
Yeah. Well, it's because of the field I'm in now. I know what football does to the human body. Like, the human body was not designed to play football. It's modern day gladiators, back in the Romans and the Greeks, that's what people used to do for fun, watch people kill each other. We just kind of toned it down a little bit. We play football, you know, but it's still the same sort of thing, you know. It's not good for your body. So that's, I got 2 little kids now. I play with them before. And I also have, I say friends who are still playing. They are, I got friends who I played with who are a couple of years older than me already getting hip and knee replacements, and they're 36 years old with a total hip. You know, they're probably going to die before they're 49. You know, it's not a
not a good
situation.
So I've made several transitions from consultant to event manager to a job that I just took because I needed a job. And when I took that job, it was because I needed it. I really, really needed it. And unfortunately, I had hit rock bottom, I think, before I needed to get out of it. So I was really between a rock and hard place. My disappointment in my job was spilling over into my personal life and social life, and it was just kind of big. So I knew I had to get out. I've danced my whole life, and it was always something that I had tinkered with. You know, do I want to take this hobby and turn it into something professional?
And I was 26 at the time and sort of thought, well, right, an hour never, I can't make this decision when I'm 40. So, and I knew that I was so unhappy where I was, that me moving to New York and taking the risk of becoming a professional dancer was easy compared to where I was. And it turned out for the best, and I realized in the process that I just sort of enjoy the craft of dancing, but I wouldn't have known that unless I pursued it professionally. That's sort of one that I think some performers are compelled to perform. They need to be on stage, but I just enjoy the craft of dancing. That's something I've never known on this
stage. I see. No, it's okay. Yeah. All right. Would you like mic with us?
Sure.
Okay.
I might have one ritual.
What sort of, and this is just a, I'm sure, I don't know all your situations and stuff, but, you know, second half, what sort of impact did all of these different transitions have on your social life or your relationships and stuff like that? I'm just trying
to, one thing that, you know, it's funny, I get a lot of time because with the job that I currently have and then with previous jobs, I've always focused on travel, and I really, and I write as well. And so those two things, I've really always sought out and fixed it so I would have a career that would enable me to do those two things, sort of salary be damned, if that's what I wanted to do. And so a lot of the time I'll rent to people who haven't seen in a while and who, you know, maybe they're mediated with high school, and they're like, my gosh, your life is so exciting. You're always, you know, you're always getting on planes, you just got back from Egypt, blah, 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 and it's true. But the thing is that in order to have that, and I really believe this, in order to have that excitement, which is wonderful, and it's varied, and it's beautiful, you're going to have some wonderful times. And in order to affect that kind of a life, in order to build that kind of a life, you have to be, and this is something that I just... And luckily, UVA prepared me for it because UVA was kind of a study abroad experience for me in a lot of ways. It was very different from where I'm from. So, just getting used to being in new places and doing new things, being by yourself. And that's really how I spend a good deal of those days. And it's a trade-off. I mean, it's always going to be a trade-off. I'm not going to lie, it does have detrimental effects on your social life and your romantic life. I mean, they're really, when someone says to you, yeah, go off for 4 months, yeah, I'm fine with that, that starts to make you wonder why that's so good. it's that's part of the big trick.
Who else wants to take that one? Anybody?
I know.
You all don't have to answer all of them, but.
For me, the NFL was the amount of hours that you put into the NFL compared to a real job is it's about a quarter of a real job now. And, you know, I don't know how many hours a week I work, but I just work until the job is done. Where in the NFL, you just, you know, you work from 8 to 4 during the season and off season. You know, you work an hour and a half a day, you know, so like, I mean, the amount of free time you have in the NFL is, you know, so you can develop relationships and, you know, you have a lot of free time. No, I don't.
Good question. What is the worst thing someone said to you when you were going through this transition? I mean, people say terrible things, so what was the worst thing someone said?
Suck.
What was the thing that they didn't say? I could just look at their faces. And like when I was 26 and I was telling people, oh yeah, I'm going to move to New York and pursue my dance career. You know, I mean, I was in the comms school here. You know, like I came from a very different path than some of the looks I got from people. And most of the people who didn't know me all that well, and people who were my good friends were very supportive of me. But it was kind of what they didn't say. I found, for me, that if I just say that I am a gerontologist and I study aging, I get a very, oh, that's so sweet. And, it's so nice of you. And like, it's very charitable. And but if I tell them that I have an engineering background and I did it for Tim and Brothers and I study older adults because I see this tremendous market opportunity for a population that I do care deeply about, then I get a completely different, like, whoa, yeah, you're on something. And so it's funny to kind of watch people's impressions. And it's funny for me personally to feel like I still kind of want to be react the latter reaction, you know, because I'm serious about it, and I think I got that when you said you worked on Wall Street, there's a little that, and so I think it's interesting to watch people react to kind of what you do professionally, because it's your identity, so I thought to play around with that and see how people react.
Pretty early on in my career, someone told me that I had no inner drive, and that still just tears me to pieces. I mean, it was because I was figuring myself out, because I was trying new things, and I'll never forget that. I mean, obviously it motivated me and pushed me, but I think that there can be a mistake when you're really pushing for something that, you know, that's going to work for you and to be true to your ambitions and your goals at the time that they are. You know, some people who see you're not doing the, you know, more traditional kind of thing, being mistaken for being a loafer or a bohemian. Hearing that no inner drive is still echoes.
Do you want to out them? Would that make you feel better?
I'm not going to, but I don't know him, but it was a former boss when I was on.
Any other audience questions? Okay. Jenny.
You just brought up resignations. So many of you guys have all, well, except for Chris, sorry, had to resign. Can you talk about some of those resignation moments?
That was interesting. I walked into my boss and I told him that I was leaving to go back to our graduate school, and he was like, "Oh, a business school? You like to?" And that's what everyone did. And I'm like, "Actually, I studied gerontology." It was just—I mean, I don't think there's a lot of investment bankers who leave and go study gerontology, so they didn't really know what to make of it. But he really respected it, I think, and. He's still a really close friend of him for us. It was, for me, I think he, you know, wasn't asking like to come back after grad school. It wasn't really something he thought I'd do.
I was in, because I jumped around so much, I was in fairly low level positions when I resigned, so.
When I was after my first PR job in healthcare, my boss literally asked me if I was crazy. And it wasn't like, "Are you crazy?" But it was like, "You need to take some time." Because it just seemed like an insane decision to make. You know, that I had gotten this position and I was like, "I'm going to go and bartend it right for me." And just kind of figure things out for a while. And then it literally seemed like I had taken it in my senses. So, yeah, it almost became like a human resource position.
So be honest, we're all back at our 10-year reunion. We want something to show for our time in the last 5 years. You want the kid to show someone under the belly or, you know, a new haircut or a job promotion. So how much did that pressure to be awesome for your friends, for your family, play into your path, play into the transitions you're making and those big leaps? Did you worry what your classmates from UVA were going to say to you or about you?
I think I spent my entire 20s like worried about that, and it's just now in my late 20s, early 30s, I don't really care anymore. It's so liberating. I think part of that too is finding something that's a good fit for you and that you really enjoy, and then it doesn't matter what other people think so much anymore. I mean, here, like as part of the comm school, I mean, we were all very competitive, and I vividly remember being so cognizant of what everyone was thinking of me here. Great. I'm happy with what I'm doing, so that's
much more. I'll be good. I want my face something that I can look at. You know, I mean, I do. Like, and that's like, you know, I don't know if it's, it, I don't think it has so much to do with people I study with. And I was lucky enough here when I studied with some tremendously talented people. I think that there was some, I think there was some concern about the decision to, you know, go off to Australia and study this very esoteric course of study, because the thing to do among my friends is to go to Boston, and that's what they did wonderfully. But there was never any, I don't think there was any outside disapproval. But as far as the pressure goes, it's, I think where I transitioned in the same way that Annie's transitioned was over the last few years, like I used to not be able to, I think it was, I read, who was it? Lauren Conrad. He had a book. It was like a bestseller. And I remember reading this and being like, I'm going to set myself on fire. Just seeing that, you know, there's someone who's the age 24, 25. And because when you choose also, you know, what I've chosen, which is to sort of have this hybrid career where I'm not writing all the time. I have another career and it takes longer to write. To see other people moving more quickly can be difficult. You know, and to see other people moving down that road and being published earlier, that it, on that scale can be tough. And I'd be lying if I said it wasn't conscious of that.
I think your pieces are going to take quite a while. So I think to go from making a lot of money on the first job and then to make that change and spend that time, there were moments during that where I think I felt like everyone was kind of moving faster, but I think I've always been very aware of my end goal, which I'm not at yet. So I think I believe in it a lot, but it is important for me to feel like my friends are here where I'm headed as well.
What's your goal?
It's pretty much helping companies create products for older adults, and then I have some business ideas myself. There's some book ideas.
Audience questions. Do you feel like UVA prepared you with your education for the sort of elasticity of the last 10 years and all of these different faces and positions you had?
I think it absolutely did. I think that I didn't even know that the course of academic study that I pursued was a thing until I was here. It was one professor, Ursa Sertadas. And you don't have Ursa Sertadas? Yeah. And she changed my life. I mean, it was one class. And it wasn't just the class, it wasn't just learning that there's a whole study around social movements and revolutions, the contentious politics that I can go and study. It was also the idea that if there's that, then there's got to be so much more. It just really broadened my view in general. I didn't feel, when I was going to job fairs, that there was a lot for me. I felt like at that time, there was a lot of banking, and that might have just been my perception. To be honest, I wasn't going to every single job. I do think though that the form of education, which I thought was, from my experience, was sort of top down, and it wasn't everyone gets an equal opinion. It was you sat in a lecture, you listened to someone who's been doing this for ages, and they told you about political theory or you know astronomy, and you listened. And I think that really served me well rather than thinking that I deserved that opinion in my first week of whatever job I was in. So I think that's to be more of a learner than a doer.
I'd say yes and no. Academic wise, no. I was a studio art major, majored in sculpture.
Nice.
So I didn't really, I don't even know. Get a job. So no, in that respect, on the academic side, I'm in medicine now, and I didn't take one biology course. I didn't take one, any sort of medical course, or even a business course. I'm essentially running a business, but it's so academic wise, no. Experience-wise, yes, the whole college experience and the whole being an athlete and going to school, some of the time management skills and then some of the just figuring out life skills and kind of just staying at the course, so. Yes and no.
Ian, Katie?
I think it absolutely prepared me. I mean, even though I was in the comm school, I think just in general, the college is very the balancing of the social life and rigorous academics and, and I think, just the marketability of you
cute and she's smart.
Is that what it says?
Right.
Yeah, I agree. And, I think, I wonder if I, you know, I pushed for a job that I don't think I truly thought a lot about, like, is this the right fit for me? I remember I did the summer internship and then got a full-time offer to come back full-time. And I remember everyone else seemed really excited that I got a full-time offer and this is a big deal. And so I think I kind of felt like, well, this is what I should do. And I don't think I thought about that as critically. And I think a competitive environment might force you to make some of those decisions that maybe aren't as true to who you are. But I think you're just younger, too. I don't think I knew at the time what I wanted to be. You might as well take a good job.
Yes. Oh, I love that the boyfriends and husbands of our alumni. Okay, great.
So I heard two really interesting things. One, Katie said that your career sort of defines your identity. And then I heard Annie say it's kind of all about finding something that you enjoy doing. And I, as people who've been through a bunch of transitions in your lives, I feel like identity, your identity can't be defined by your career when you've had all these different careers, right? So, I don't know, if everybody's just said Chris is just a football player, right? That's your identity, that's who you are. It's clearly not, clearly a lot more than that. So how do you guys feel about it? Does your career really define who you are? I'm just curious.
Good question.
I'd say a little bit, definitely. A little, in a way. When I was playing football, I didn't define who I was. I didn't want to define who I was. But now, my job now is kind of like it has meaning and it kind of does define me a little bit. So, it's not everything who I am. I mean, I got my wife and two kids there in the back. So that's part of life too, you know, for me. And then, but it definitely has a little. I mean, I feel stronger now in myself, you know, my identity as what I do now than I did playing football. And it's kind of just played football because I loved it. Ever since I was this tall, I wanted to play in the NFL. So I reached my goal, but then at the same time, the fulfillment of reaching your goal was there, but then once I was there, it was like, it was over the day it started.
I'm getting my master's in counseling with a focus on career counseling. I'm not dancing, that's another transition. But, we talk about this a lot in my program. I think it's such a Western thing. I mean, when you go to a cocktail party, what's the first question people ask you? What do you do? You know, I mean, they don't ask you, like, you know, how do you spend your time, or what's your hobby, or, you know, tell me about your family. It's always like, what do you do? I mean, that's how we kind of compartmentalize each other, unfortunately. So I think it's like a struggle. It's your own personal struggle, I think. Like, how much do you want to let your career define you? I mean, I think that's one of the things that I struggled with a lot in my 20s. Like, that's why I was unhappy, because I let my career totally define who I was, and I wasn't happy in my career, so therefore I wasn't really happy. But now I have much more, you know, much more insight, much more better balance. So it still does define who I am, but I think not all of who I am. And I think what defines how I think about myself is, like, what am I passionate about and how am I making an impact? And I think the closer that my job is to being something I'm passionate about and being something where I feel like I'm making an impact, like, that's the aspect of my identity that I like it to be wrapped up in. But I also think because I kind of learned that I didn't want to just be an investment banker, I think I like separating it a little bit more as well, trying to be a whole person.
I think, when we all graduated, I felt kind of alone. I felt so, like, unfinished. Like, I felt like everyone around me, I feel like you all had it together in a way that I did not at all. And I really had to take some time and figure out what I was good at. Like, I knew what I excelled at academically. That didn't really mean much.
What I really assume is Katie knows my where I retreat to when I need to think about things is the Jersey Shore of all places. It's actually a lot more of a cerebral person than you think. But I went there for really the better part of the fall after you graduated. I initially was going to take the shop in Japan and stop, and I went there and just really thought and was like, I realized what sets me apart is that I'm passionate about things. And even though it sounds really broad, that I'm passionate about people, and I'm like fascinated by people. So, and fascinated by just life and things. So, really, what that has led to, I mean, first of all, that's the business of public relations. And then in moving to, you know, when I worked in kind of more promotion side, the same thing. And then certainly with writing, you know, that's what it's all about. And then finally, with what I do now with the university, my entire job is to meet with you all on an individual basis and find out what your passions are. And so it's not a matter so much of a job defining me, but there's certainly a threat that's through there, and I think it's been about finding that threat and finding a way to be to cast the net wide enough that I'm going to channel myself and think where I'm going to be worth something to the organization I'm working for and getting something out of it as well. But I think that was the starting point for me. So it wasn't so much about letting the box me in, it was about sort of finding out what it was that set me apart and then it capitalized.
Okay, just one more. Like, tell me about the moment that you knew it was going to be okay.
Okay,
I got no paycheck in the mail.
I mean, I don't know of any of them. I just don't. I mean, I didn't know how to do. I didn't know how to do sort of. I guess I hate using the terms like cookie cutter or the normal thing because no one's doing anything wrong. Everyone's lives. If you have 2.5 kids and you're living in the suburbs, that's a crazy adventure that I've never been on. You know, so it's nothing's normal. But I think that you know, for me, it was like, there was this role out there that I had to see. And there were these things that I had to try, and I have to write. And it sounds like crazy. That's a really cheesy thing to say. Like, you don't have to write, you have to eat. But writing was always going to be a big part of it. So I think that I never saw it as something. People have said that it's like, oh, it's so great, you can just brush into your own drama. I never saw it that way. It's like, oh, this is what I have to do. I feel that way with dancing.
Yeah, I was talking to one of my previous dance teachers, and she asked me, well, do you want to move to New York, or do you have to move to New York? You know, is this something you want to do, or is this like something compelling you? And I was compelled to do it. So, yeah, it has to. Yeah.
Well, there's plenty of not family you can see. Yeah. I mean, there's certainly an aspect. Like, there have been those moments where it's like, okay, so like now I'm in this. Like, what's gonna happen next? You know, but have you ever felt that pervasive?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you have high expectations of yourself and high goals, it's easy to sometimes feel uncertain about that. And I think my new husband, I think, is one of the big things for me that makes me feel like it's all gonna be okay. And I think sometimes when I wanna like. And I was looking for jobs after grad school, and I didn't want to be in academia, and I wanted to still do something that there's not a job description for. I think he gives me the strength to be like, no, you should do that. Like, that's a really unique and interesting way to use your skills. And when I would start like looking at job descriptions for things, he's like, hey, like that's just a job. You don't need to do that. Like, we're gonna be fine, and you should do something you really care about. Takes advantage of all this education.
Mark,
welcome
to Craig, and then anybody else? Do you
mind? Yeah, no, I'm good. So the panel, feeling the itch to reinvent yourself, and it's funny because you said, you know, everyone else when we graduated had figured it out, but now sitting here, it seems like you guys have figured it out, which is pretty awesome, and it's pretty badass and inspirational, so good on you. So for someone who might be feeling the itch now, I'm sure you get a lot of people approaching you asking for advice. So I was wondering if you have what you say to those people about if they're feeling the itch to do something, you know, what do you tell them, if there's any words of wisdom you can share?
I'd say just keep moving and don't be satisfied. We skipped you know, from football player to now sales representative, but there's a 2-year span in between there that was very, very difficult, you know, making good money in the NFL, now you're unemployed, have, you know, zero money coming in, you know, and then, so, but then, you know, I say, don't sit around and wait for it to come to you, go get it, like, from the NFL, I mean, came a dock builder, and, I was making $8 an hour, you know, hammering nails, building a dock, you know, but I wasn't I wasn't building massive docks, and I was in the corporate office being a dock builder. I was out there with a hammer. you know, so, but then it just, you know, but I knew I didn't want to be a dock builder for the rest of my life, but I had to do so, you know, I had to, you know, you got to eat, you know, like I said, gotta eat. So, I just kept moving and just kept, you know, didn't accept the fact that, okay, you know, I'm gonna be a dock builder for the rest of my life, you know. When I wasn't building docks, you know, networking, kept moving, kept trying to get after it. Just wouldn't accept no for an answer as well.
I think my advice would be to, if you really are feeling compelled about something, I think that to talk to me, obviously, to a lot of people in that space is, I think it's helpful to, I really like blogs and follow people on Twitter who are doing the stuff that you're interested in and trying to meet those people. It's so much easier now to like approach people who seem so far away who are actually quite close if they're doing something that you're passionate about. And then I think also, I think sooner rather than later, I have a lot of friends who I think, maybe didn't question it earlier, and it gets harder and harder, I think, you know, too. And so I think if you're thinking about it now, it's going to be even harder to make that shift 5 years from now or 10 years.
And I mean, this really reflects on what Chris said, but you got to be willing to humble yourself. If you're not going to live an adventurous life if you are egotistical. You just aren't. I mean, there were times at age 26, I was busing tables at a place called Restaurant Tech after I got my master's degree, after I headed up the PR for a global healthcare organization, because I needed money. And I was in between jobs, and I was resigning. I was going to take this other job, I was interviewing, but I wasn't going to ask my parents for money. I was going to do this, like, this is my life. And I think that, and the same thing if right now, if I got the job, I would be at the gas station. You know, like that's, and I think that if you go at life with that perspective of, you know, this is sort of from an adventurous standpoint, rather than this is what I should be doing, and that life is about, one thing my parents told me, this is going to sound horrible, but I really believe it, and it's actually true, is that life is about survival and not happiness. And that from the survival comes the happiness. You know, so I think that I've kind of lived by that, and I think that the, but I really, obviously, like Chris was saying, you know, there are going to be times where you got to be humble. You have to be willing to be prepared for that.
I think one little specific answer, I told you I read that book and I aligned it with my client, and I actually sought him out and know him now, and he's a great mentor to me. And I think if you find someone and you're equally as passionate about something that they're passionate about, like, usually they want to like open doors for you and help you connect to the right people. Kind of, I like stalk this guy, and he's a junior nutrition. Like, I don't think he has a lot of like to command.
Who's online, by the way? How many people are plugged into Who's Online? It is a gold mine. I'm telling you. Like the first offer I got, I ended up not. It was the one that I ended up not getting through Who's Online somehow. But that's still. I mean, I still have so many contacts with that thing. I used it years ago, and it was amazing. So, I mean, there's a network here, and I'm not just, you know, I mean, it's just there for the taking. I must have met 40, 50 alumni in 2004, just trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and not one of them turned me down. They gave me so much time, and, you know, even if they're not EV alumni, no, just the kids.
Any of you guys?
Right.
My question is for you, because, you know, you've moderated. But you've had a little bit of a, you know, change to your identity a little bit. What inspired you to be a pilot sister?
Well, I thought I was going to be laid off. But, you know, the layoffs were coming so swiftly. We had 10 today, and my newspaper. And I thought, I don't have another marketable skill. I haven't waited tables since the greenskeeper second year. And I was okay at that. Not really great. Yeah, not really great. And I thought, if I get laid off tomorrow, how am I going to feed myself? And I have a dog who's very hungry always. So I thought, geez, I got to have something else marketable. And so I was at the gym one day and working on some frustration and saw the sign. And I thought, well, you know what? I come to Pilates, I can do this. And so I got certified and then realized I really like it. I really, really like it. And so then I thought, well, you know what, that can be a part of my life too. And then so for the last several years everything driving me was fear of not being laid off, and then I was hoping I'd be laid off, and then I was fearful I'd be laid off, and then I was hoping I'd be laid off. And then some cycle came and went and the time stuff. So now I have a hybrid life like so many of you, and I have a lot of jobs, but I like them all. Thank you, Frank. Anybody else? For an audience question. This is your moment. These people are movers. They're not going to be here for long. So what is on your list that you didn't get off? So right when you were thinking of reinventing yourself, you probably had multiple things you thought you might do. So what do you think you still might do in terms of careers, jobs, for your bill?
I have a Google Doc of all things. Actually, when I was trying to figure out after I decided I was done with my professional dance career, it sort of came down to like being a career counselor and being a cake baker. Then I decided just eating cake was fine for now. So, maybe like I'd like to open up an animal shelter, like make cake, and I'd like to be a tourist. So, all things that like dabble in. I might want to write a book.
I've never seen it as reinventing myself because I've had this thread of it's really been about knowing that I wanted to write and to find a way to do that, and knowing also that I was neither prolific or naturally talented enough to really have any sense for me to write full time. You know, so I needed something where I can't do that. So I think with what I do now, I don't really see myself. I mean, as long as the university will have me, I mean, it's been great so far. But I like the career I'm in. It's really, it hasn't been so much about like, oh, what am I going to do next? Is finding something that's going to help support what I'm doing. And luckily now, I mean, it's being in Los Angeles, being around people, and it's, I feel like now I'm finally able to sort of hit the creative stride that I've been waiting for. So I don't see it changing a lot. I'm gonna stay put for a while, see how that works out.
Yeah, I like my job too. So the only thing I might do, I'm gonna try to ride this thing out as long as I can. Maybe when I retire, because actually, before I took the job I have now, I was actually thinking about going to med school. And it's kind of one of these things. I had a wife and kid at the time, sort of thing. I'll go to med school or get a job now, you know, so I can spend money or make money, you know, so it's kind of an easy decision. Had I been single, you know, just me, I probably would have went to med school, but so maybe when I retire, I'll go to med school.
Brilliant. Yeah, I kind of tend to do the same thing, probably in a slightly different structure, so right now I work for someone else, and it's great, and we do innovation and product consulting, but I would like to have my own consulting company that does that, and then I'd like to write a book and do some writing in the most entrepreneurial things, and then I taught for a while, which I really enjoyed, so some combination like adjunct faculty and consulting. And
so if you all want to write books, you should do book publishing, and then you guys can just go together through this.
I'm just curious to hear what compelled y'all to come to this session in particular.
Yeah, I didn't think there'd be anybody here.
What compelled you all, whether it's something going on right now or just what I was interesting? Or
a lot of spouses in the audience,
Jim. But I would say that, my career has shifted a couple of times. It's not my spouse. Sorry. It's a good friend. I will say it's always interesting because I live in a part of the country I'd never lived in before. And you're always wondering what it would be like if you did that other thing, whatever it might be, different industry, different city, different career, like all that type of stuff. And you're still at that part of your career where you can do that and still be taken seriously. And so that's why it's always kind of curious, like, is it just me because I work at that company and I do that job and that's career I've chosen so far and I live in the city, or is it that other folks who are approximately my age are going through the same kind of challenges in their head? So talk to your spouse about it, that they have the same responses as you do, and you're like, this doesn't help. Like, I need a little bit more kind of outsider. So that's what it was for me.
Yes.
In 2 weeks, I'll be with the same place for 10 years, so that's like right after I graduated. I was curious what other people did, because I've been in the same place, hearing people move around.
I thought that the grass was always being greener, though. I mean, there's something to be said for that.
So who's here? Show of hands. Who's been at the same company or doing the same kind of work since you graduated?
That's a lie.
Are you guys desperate for a change?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. What do you want to do? We'll solve it.
I don't know. I have been with the same company for about 9 years, and I held on to it while my husband and we traveled for business school. And I wanted to have kids and have a family, and I held on to a job that was really stable, and I was good at it, and they loved me, and now I'm. Wish I had more to show for my time, and I'm not passionate about it. So I just know that other people feel that way too and wanted to hear what other people. And oddly enough, have really found myself in the last 6 months finding myself interested in career counseling, which I find so ironic. But I'm not sure if there's a way to catch people. If I had met, career counselor Christine 10 years ago, could I have ended up in a better, different place? I don't know. Like, just was curious to hear what other people had to say.
You know what's interesting about what you said is the gender aspect to that.
I was sitting here thinking that I wish there had been a forum for moms, yeah. For working moms and stuff like that.
Next time, we'll do that next.
Yeah. Not that you guys aren't super helpful.
that's a really good question. Andy and Katie are both married, so how much is this sort of, your career transition playing into your, family plan, if there's a plan, and, is this, where in the, your gender in a heavy way through this?
Yes, discuss.
I think for me, there's biology and there's timelines that you kind of have in your head, and people say, after 35 and all these things. But also, I feel like I'm starting to kind of just be in my stride for after the grad school, and so I think I do wrestle with really wanting to kind of spike right now professionally, but also wanting to have a family and when it's the right time to do that.
That's a huge book. I think for anyone, it's massive. And it's weird. I feel like we're still in college, but. And I was going to say, college food and action is a good way to research something.
No. I was just going to say, this may be simple. I mean, no offense to anybody else, but football is such a big part of. Like when we were in college, just one of those things, and I just was kind of curious to hear Chris's stories about playing with guys like Anthony Poindexter and all those. I mean, just, I know a lot of us were at all these games, and it's such a big part for us. I just wanted to hear stories about.
That's what I like.
Katie and Tim, you guys can all answer too if you want. What was like playing?
I'm just playing with
Poindexter. People like going to NFL, what it really was like with that. I mean, that's just a different life that most of us don't get access to.
Yeah, I mean, it's the NFL is kind of twofold. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's the greatest job in the world, but then it's also the worst job in the world. They pay you too much, you don't have any responsibility, and so But you know, and I just, I, but the part that really sucks about me, you know, I have so many friends that, you know, literally made millions of dollars in the NFL. They're, you know, broke. You know, can't even find a job. You know, because you know we're I guess right at the right age, but you know, 5 or 6, 10 years from now, when you're 40 years old to try to make a career for yourself, it's like, you know, you should have did that 10 years ago, trying to figure out what you're going to do, you know. So like, life after football is, and I only played 5 years, so I got out, you know, before him, but there's guys who played 10 or 15 years that they get out and it's like, they, you know, very few of them, and some of the statistics, just to throw one on, actually, 80% of NFL football players within 5 years of retirement, 80% of them are either bankrupt or divorced. So it's like, it's not a, you know, they don't put that statistic in.
Is this a lack of education with the program? They're not educated on their employees.
Yeah, I mean, there's zero education. I mean, they bring a financial advisor in the first day of, you know, first day, and he talks for 10 minutes, and that's it.
But here's your things about.
Yeah, and so, but then you know, the other thing is, too, that there's, you know, there's some guys playing in the NFL, making millions and millions of dollars, and they're fine for the rest of their life, but, you know, most of them, you know, if you made $1 million, you can't retire at age 27 with $1 million in the bank. And it goes, you have one kid, and get a wife, and a house. $1 million is gone.
Well, most of us will be going through a midlife crisis at that point, probably because we've been doing the same thing for 10 years. So as you all have thought a lot about what you're doing and sort of put your roots into something right now, do you look down that corridor and say, wow, another 10 years of this, I'm going to pull my hairs out? Or do you think I'm going to be moving, you know, every couple of years and doing something different?
I pray to God that I'm still doing what I'm doing now. I love waking up in the morning. I mean, I got, you know, I explained my day to you. You know, a lot of people are like, that's not for me. But I love waking up in the morning going to work. So that's like I said, I feel pretty lucky, I guess. Lucky, blessed, whatever, however you want to say it.
Good question. Who else?
I think I will be in the same general vein, probably doing different kind of ratios of things and trying to keep some family in there as well. And I joke, I think if I changed again, my family would kill me. They were committed to old people care. There's a lot you do so with old people.
Yeah, I think of family a lot of that one. At the same time, I don't see any massive change again in terms of what I'm doing professional. I think the sort of ambassadorial brand of public relations is sitting well. And I just want to continue to tell stories. And I mean, that's really what, you know, whether it's, you know, three people doing that, or I write about stuff. You know, I did it, and that's what I want to keep doing. But also by that stage, I think I feel very lucky to have seen what I've seen, and prioritizing travel, I mean, seeing a ton of stuff. But there's a time when you want to have a home, too. You know, and I'm lucky enough to find a city that it feels like home. And
I'm pretty sure that I'm going to be doing the same thing, but maybe via different platforms. So when I graduate, I hope to be a career counselor. So work part time at a community college, have it in private practice, do some writing, so kind of mix it up, because I do get bored if I have them doing the same thing 9 to 5. So I probably would like to be using the same skills, but in different iterations. I think you asked earlier about if you're getting an itch, and I think one of the things you have to decide about yourself is, are you the kind of person who kind of wants those things blended, like your passion and your work, and those are going to be blended? Or I have other friends who, their job is just a job, and it's how they pay their bills, and they come and they go, and then they do all the things they're passionate about with the free time outside of it, and I think that's also like a totally legit way to do it. And I think I would probably sleep much better at night if I was that person, but I torture myself and have to do something that's like passionate and new and something that I like interweave and can't just take off.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, I think the impression I never want to give to anyone when I talk with them about what they do is like the idea that like, oh yeah, man, like I live on the edge, or like I don't march with the amount of trouble. Like I really feel like most of us do that. It's just a matter of what approach you from.
Let's thank our panelists, our very awesome panelists, and you all for coming. Thank you so much for taking part of your afternoon to do this. Let's give a round of applause.
Yeah,
I wish you all luck finding your way out.
Also, all you guys could fill out the orange comment cards. The Alumni Association would really appreciate it.